Periscope world. It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster, back in the booth. Episode 20, respect the game. Just chug the coffee. I'm feeling real lit right now.
Coming out of the gate strong.
I got my man's Abe Schwadron as usual. What's good, Brody?
Yo, aka Jelly Fam Abe. In the spirit of this episode, are we right to go with that?
Yes, I mean, you're right. And you hear the laughter in the background. I got my boy with me, or our boy with us.
Yes, sir.
The original really out here, boy.
Yes, sir.
The low god, both gods below God, Air Justin, Justin Delaney, a.k.a. NJ Hoop Recruit. Justin, what's good, bro?
A.k.a. Dante Jones, a.k.a. the real-life Cliff Paul, a.k.a. young Tom Konchalski. Really out here, man.
Yo, it's funny when he walked in today, Abe and Justin went into like the room where we do the podcast, and one of the guys in the office was like, "Yo, who is that?" And I was like, "Oh, it's Dante Jones."
He probably believed you too.
He was like, "Oh, word."
Oh, the first dude. Yeah.
Well, you do have the Duke shorts, bro.
I hear that.
Perfect.
Two times a month.
Damn, I'm honestly jealous, man. World champion Dante Jones.
Dante Jones or John Legend, one or the other.
John Legend. Wow, that's a really good one.
That's pretty good, yeah.
That's like our boy George Kiel, a.k.a. Avery Johnson.
A.k.a. Ben Gordon.
Looks exactly like both those guys. Anyway, I digress. So Justin's up here today. We're going to talk some high school ball. He's heavy in these streets. He's been out there all summer putting in a lot of work. So, you know, now that the NBA is pretty much in a dead zone.
Yeah, we're in this weird spot here where it's like, high school basketball, weird social media things, sneaker releases. This is like, we're like reaching for, like, my man Joffrey Laverne got traded from the Nuggets for second round picks, and that's like the biggest thing that happened.
Yeah, so not very exciting times in the NBA, but, you know, we're inching closer to the season. But, you know, Abe and I were out last night getting our swerve on at the new Foot Locker. Shouts to Sarah. I'll butcher your last name, so I'm not even gonna try.
The connect, the plug,
held us down, welcomed us to the new Foot Locker space on 34th. Well, excuse me, not the new, but it was a grand reopening. Very dope. Ran into the homie Dallas Penn there. They got basically every shoe you'd ever want there. So if you're in the neighborhood, you know, definitely go peep that. And then, Abe, your boy went home and went to bed around 9:30. You moseyed on downtown to the Adidas events. So was good over there?
You know, I get around to all these events, man. Yeah, man. I mean, Adidas is launching a little, I'm going to butcher the name of the line as well.
Oh,
but, you know, some new training gear. They had Joakim Noah there, Andrew Wiggins, like roughly 40 extremely good-looking young people wearing the product as well during a little runway show action there. And Fetty Wap came out and performed as well.
Zubier.
Yeah, shout out to Jersey, Justin in the building.
Okay. Was future wifey there or nah?
I mean, who?
I don't know, just...
My future wifey?
Big Lola?
Are you trying to brag now? Because since we did our last podcast, you had a big life moment happening.
Chill. I'm not putting my shit out on blast like that.
Wifey might be listening.
Now, was Big Lola there though?
I don't know who that is. But anyway, no. But I mean, to your point, this is that point in the summer where it's like, you know, this is the last hurrah basically for the sneaker brands to be able to get their guys kind of out in the public eye, and they don't have practice and games every other day. So Adidas had a dope event. You know, we've seen all the brands all summer. And, you know, Justin was just telling us that Jordan is hosting one of the last high school sort of events of the summer at Terminal 23, right?
Yeah. City is Mine tournament. I think this is the second year they've done it. I don't think much information has been released yet, but it should be a goodie.
Alleged.
Sources say.
Breaking news here on the podcast.
But, you know, before we jump into real high school ball talk, let's just touch on a very few minor NBA things. The Joffrey Laverne trade. Okay,
and
next.
That was Joffrey Laverne.
Joffrey Laverne, ladies and gentlemen. But something that hits close to your heart is the alleged Brad Beal, John Wall beef. John Wall out here saying that they don't get along on court sometimes, and then there's all these reports, I'm using air quotes because they weren't really reports, it was more like heresy, if anything, of John Wall's watching other people's money and, you know, jealous of Brad Beal's contract and all this bullshit. But, you know, you're the Wizards insider, so why don't you give us your 2 cents on it?
Well, I mean, I think you can come at this quote-unquote story from a lot of angles. The first being, if we just take the Wizards part out of it, take John Wall, Bradley Beal out of it, isn't this, like, fairly normal on A, on any basketball court on planet Earth, and B, of even good teams, like, why, I mean, Kobe and Shaq, you know, the list, I'm sure there's a gigantic list of guys that have not gotten along and probably would have said so if they had a microphone stuck in their face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But, I mean, Pete, you've screamed at me on a basketball court. I'm like,
with glee.
Screamed. Absolutely screamed in my face about probably the dumbest shit. Like,
is that true?
Yeah.
In your face?
Like, I think I kept throwing an entry pass low instead of high. And you were pissed, man.
Big man problem.
I mean, whatever. Like, 5 minutes later, I'm sure I was about to say drinking a beer, but probably drinking a Gatorade to party ways.
Hell
but
yeah.
Whatever, man. Like, this is not a story. But now that it's become a story, I feel like I also have to point out that, I mean, look, I'm always going to be... people are always going to tell me that I'm overly defending my guy John Wall, which is probably true, but I would just point out that I don't think he's not the type of guy that gives a shit what anybody thinks about any of his quotes or anything he does on the court, what he wears, what he posts on social media, whatever. And part to his detriment in some ways, because that's probably why he's bounced from brand to brand in terms of endorsements, and that's probably why he isn't as marketable a star as some of the other guys in the league who are a little bit better at those types of things and sort of managing their mainstream image. However, it also means that when he says he's being honest and saying these things, I don't think he hates Bradley Beal, okay? And I think he's just genuinely expressing a thing that happens on a basketball court in the way that we just did. And we just live in this space now where things get immediately twisted without people even watching the full interview that he did. This was like a 1 second blip and probably is true. And Bradley Beal probably like, yeah, we do hate each other on the court sometimes. And then we run back down the other end.
All right. Facts. To that point, then how come Wall had to like do selfie videos explaining what was going on and saying that he's not watching anybody else?
Well, I would
money?
Also point out that I think, to my point of him not necessarily taking a huge hold of his own image or whatever, or sort of trying so hard to control the narrative from the beginning, I don't know where any of the reporting came from beyond the literal videos of John and Brad that I saw, but some of the source stuff, my assumption is that all that stuff is coming from Brad's camp.
Oh?
That's just my assumption from watching from afar and having, you know, a track on this team for years at this point.
Yo, and also to whoever said that John Wall is jealous of James Harden's money, yeah, I'm pretty jealous of his money too.
It's natural.
You know, man, shit. I'd want to be making hundreds of millions of dollars.
But dude, at least one of those stories was just utterly ridiculous. Like, there was a paragraph where just offhandedly suggested that Bradley Beal is like a gym rat and John Wall doesn't work on his game. How do you just drop that into a story offhandedly with no just? I think the sentence was something like they're really different guys. Like one spends all day in the gym, one doesn't. Like, what? How do you just say that about an NBA player who pretty clear? Everything I've ever heard is that John is a gym rat and he's gotten way better at a lot of parts of his game throughout his whole career. I don't know how you just drop that in a story and not expect people to point that out.
Clickbait.
Gosh, it's just so frustrating. But we should move on before I have a fit.
I just want to make one very quick point about Harrison Barnes, too, who was catching a lot of heat for not playing on the Olympic team, and just not really getting any minutes and, you know, basically being the team cheerleader. Man, so the fuck what? you got a free trip.
To got a free trip to Rio.
He got a gold medal.
Free gear.
He's always going to remember for being on that team. And look, Harrison Barnes is nice. Like, he's good at ball. I don't care what anybody says. You don't get 94 mil for no reason, dog. Like, he's a beast. And I really honestly, I mean, at first I hoped he was going to have a good year just because he's, like, a good dude and, you know. He's a good dude, and he is good at ball as well. But now I'm flat out saying, like, yo, he's going to have a big year. I feel like he's really going to be a big piece of that Mavericks team.
Well, he posted on social media, he posted, like, the picture of the gold medal in his jersey after they won the gold medal, which, by the way, for all the shit that this team took, they still blew out a team in the gold medal game, okay? And pretty much Cruz, like, yeah, there was, like, some sketchy games here and there, but, like, okay, they won again by a shitload in the gold medal game. I didn't really understand all of the criticism of the team beyond the fact that it wasn't, like, beautiful basketball to watch. But and then everyone was kind of, like, shitting on Harrison Barnes for posting that. It's like,
totally unnecessary, man.
Okay, this summer he got a max contract and a gold medal.
Can't be
but
that.
But he shouldn't be proud of this?
And, like, he got engaged, too.
People are like, oh, he doesn't deserve it.
What?
What did he? It's not like he was sitting at home and Coach K called him like, "Hey man, we were looking for a terrible scrub to be on the team. Do you think you could, like, put some pants on and get out here?" Yeah, he went to the USA camp, competed against other guys, and was selected for the team.
Yes, I mean, the last point I'll make on USA basketball as a whole is, like, it's almost painfully obvious that they were just really enjoying themselves in Rio until the games counted, and then they started cracking people. I mean, how their Snapchat stories were more entertaining than the basketball
just
itself.
Just accidentally wandering into brothels.
Yeah, accidental.
Oh, it was so accidental. That Yelp review was really confusing, I'm sure.
Was there anything else you wanted to hit on? NBA-wise?
The reason we have Justin here is because high school ball is the hottest thing going on right now.
Facts,
at least in this city.
So, yeah, so for those that don't know, Justin Delaney, a.k.a. Do you still go by Air Justin? Only to a select few?
To the people that knew me before, NJ Hoop Recruit. For anybody after, it's more so.
So he's got – so Blaze is, I mean, like I said in the intro, he's out in these streets. He's basically hitting every – big time high school basketball event and every small time high school basketball event for that matter in Jersey and New York.
Have you slept over at Dykeman? Have you slept on
do you still have to pay for parking when you show up?
I've kind of mastered my way around Washington Heights, so I don't pay for parking anymore. So
you know where the best horchata is then?
Still looking for the horchata connect. Have found the empanada connect, found the lemonade connect, found the chicken connect out there, but right. still working on the horchata.
So if anyone's visiting the Heights, you know who to hit for now. But you know, why don't you just tell us a little bit about NJ Hoop Recruit,
sure.
How you got the whole thing started, and you know, just your involvement in grassroots ball.
Yeah, well, we're a New Jersey-based multimedia entity. Been around for about 2 years now, Pete. I think you were actually with me during the very early stages, but started out as just a random idea I had one day to just memorialize a lot of – just to memorialize basketball. I think what initially sparked it is I was I went to a Dykeman game maybe two or three years ago, and I'd seen Isaiah Briscoe play for the first time, and I think at this point he was a sophomore in high school. But his performance alone was just – it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and – from that moment, I knew I wanted to not only document his high school career, but I wanted to just document New Jersey basketball in general. So started out there, covered a lot of his senior year, put out a mixtape on YouTube, which was really well received. I think to date it's got like over 140,000 views. And from there, just kind of built off my foundation. Second year, tried to frequent more New Jersey games, more of the high-profile games as the season ended, venturing out into the AAU scene. Fortunately, being an AAU coach, I had the opportunity to go to some big tournaments and not only coach, but watch some of the top talent in the area. So, I think the big one was the Pittsburgh Jam Fest, where I saw a bunch of guys from, like, the New Jersey Players Basketball Club, did the Providence Jam Fest, saw a bunch of guys out there. and did the New Jersey play a spring fling tournament in the spring. And it was just, I think the best part is just genuinely having a good time and not really going there to work, you know, more so going there to have a good time and happening to film and, you know, happening to watch some top tier talent play. But, you know, again, just building on the foundation that I have at this point, moving forward in our third year, we're looking to kind of establish ourselves as a editorial. When I say multimedia, we're obviously we got the video down, but we're looking to step out into a little bit of an editorial piece, do some a little bit more writing, possibly do some more work from a grassroots perspective, maybe put some showcases together. Had the pleasure of working with Tri-State Classic a few weeks ago for the Alamo Day event. Really successful event, brought out a lot of talent. Cole Anthony, Hamidou Diallo, Nate Pierre-Louis, Naz Reid, a lot of top 100 ESPN guys. And, you know, really just trying to build on the foundation I have and just have fun while I'm doing that. So.
Word. And you grew up in Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you've been pretty much there for the entire boom of Jersey basketball. I mean,
yeah.
For those that do not know, Jersey probably produces, you know, 10 of the top 100 kids every year.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, that's overdoing it, but at least 7 every single year. And, you know, countless NBA guys go to the NBA. You know, I'm looking at our Kicks cover right now, Kyrie Irving, front and center from Jersey.
Yep.
So, you know, did that inspire, you know, your – want to do this and just being around Paul? I mean, like, you have like a relationship with like Tim Thomas now, just like on
and
the strength.
It's really just been a beautiful process. I mean, just going back to my experience with New Jersey, basketball specific, I mean, I've been around the game my entire life. Since I was in fourth or fifth grade, I think the first time I saw the Allen Iverson crossover commercial, immediately fell in love with the game. So played, you know, during middle school, elementary school, a little bit in high school. As I went to college, did just about everything from refereeing to working as a team manager to coaching, doing some work with Slam Online, and then towards the latter end, just kind of venturing off and doing my own thing and kind of establishing myself as my own individual entity. But it's definitely helped being from New Jersey. I just think back being in like high school, hearing about guys like J.R. Smith, the Corey Fishers. Even when I was younger in middle school, ironically, my father had worked with Tim Thomas's father. So Tim Thomas's first year in the league, I was a big Allen Iverson fan back then, but I think that year they played the Bucks in the playoffs, and I watched the games with my father, and he always made a point to reference that Tim Thomas was from New Jersey. And just having a lot of friends who play ball and who are really entrenched in the culture, just through conversation, you'd be surprised how many people you find out are either from New Jersey or played high school ball in New Jersey. So, you know, it's really just been a lifetime of experiences kind of coming full circle and forming into and kind of just forming together.
All right. So, I mean, I'm not from the New York, New Jersey area at all, right? And I mean, I'm from the D.C. area.
Yo, DMV. To prove that point, my man yesterday brought up a review of Tony Yayo's Thoughts of a Predicate Felon album that he wrote in high school, shitting on him. I was like, yo, you're not from New York.
I mean, we really didn't fuck with that CD in Maryland, man.
Come on, man. So seductive. Oh. Just all the strength of that
song. I thought you were going to go somewhere else with something I didn't know about New York culture, but
no,
whatever, man.
Tony Yayo slander is more than enough.
All right. Whatever, man. I was going to ask that. I mean, there's obviously, like, we have a very specific type of player that comes out of the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, like, the sort of archetype of the New Jersey player? That's kind of, like, my question.
Yeah, I mean, from the outside looking in, and I say this just based on conversations and experiences I've had with people who have grew up in New York and who have, you know, seen some of the top New York players, I think our game's a lot more – I don't want to say crafted, but it's a lot more concise and it's more organized than a New York player. I think some of it might be the shot clock that they have in New York. You know, it forces a player to be more aggressive and to look to get to the basket. Basket. There's a lot of variables that ultimately
Is it like a more polished?
I think it is polished.
And I don't mean that in a bad way for the New York players. Yeah. I just mean in terms of the style.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, I think, a more polished piece to it. But there's a million different – I don't think there's one specific style to New Jersey ball, and I think that's part of the beauty. You know, you get the isolation guys like Isaiah Briscoe, but at the same time you get a traditional guy, a traditional big man like a Karl Anthony Towns, or a traditional point guard like a Jay Williams. So it's part of the beauty of the demographics in New Jersey. I mean, you know, just growing up in Montclair, it's one of the more affluent areas in North Jersey. But I'm not saying I grew up in a bad part, but I didn't grow up too far from guys who may have had a polar opposite experience than some folks might expect a person who lives in New Jersey to have. So I think it's just the demographics, maybe the proximity to New York, the resources that are available here in comparison to like a New York or Connecticut or Pennsylvania. A lot of different variables, but I don't think there's one defined kind of New Jersey player. But I think the Catholic school system, and just the connections and the networking that the more established coaches have with Division I programs and coaches, I think that plays a big role in why we've been so successful from a national perspective.
All right, so can we do the Jelly Fam conversation now? I've been waiting like however many minutes this podcast has lasted.
All right. I mean,
say yes.
Yes, of course, of course. I'm just trying to frame this correctly because this is a very regional thing.
Very regional.
And actually, that's a good lead into what I wanted to ask him anyway. So I guess to preface this, like a lot of, you know, there's been a big conversation about street ball and especially New York street ball recently. Mm-hmm. In the past couple of years, I know like a lot of big outlets have done, you know, pieces on like what happened to the New York City street mm-hmm. game and all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just by following, you know, your social media accounts, you know, you can see that
it's not dead.
It's not at all. It's still popping. And, you know, there's been a lot of talent in New York, especially this year. Unfortunately, a lot of them don't stick around here for high school, but mm-hmm. we'll get into that later too. But you know, one of the movements that has really taken off is Jelly Fam, and if you search hashtag Jelly Fam on Twitter, you'll see crazy amounts of tweets. But yeah. You know, just tell us about the Jelly Fam movement. Yeah. Who's a part, and you know,
how do we join?
How do we join?
I'll start with
is there like an initiation. Or?
There is an initiation process, for what it's worth. You have to jelly three times in a game and find a way to document it and get it back to the to one of the co-founders, either Leandre or Isaiah.
Wait, is that true?
They probably won't. They probably won't vouch for it.
I mean, we're way too washed to be doing that. But
wait, I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you got to explain to people who have no fucking clue what we're talking about. What when you say jelly in a game?
Yeah.
You got to go complete base level. Yeah. Here,
it's a finger roll. It's essentially a finger roll, and there's multiple different ways to do it. You can do the traditional, you know, George Gervin off the fingertip. But more recently, and more what's been popular at least amongst them is finishing on the opposite finish. Let's say if you're finishing on the left side of the basket, finishing with your right hand and kind of putting a spin on it.
I can confirm this because so if you watched or you were at the Elite 24,
yeah,
Isaiah Washington, aka Jelly Fam Dimes,
MVP,
had a wide open layup that in at any other game would have just been a layup and you run by the I at the time thought this was just a finger roll, but in now thinking back, he jellied the ball into the hoop.
And the crowd's reaction.
Biggest reaction of the night to a fucking wide open finger roll.
And from the outside looking in, it's like, why are they wowing?
Exactly.
But I'll kind of give you guys some background information into my experience with the Jelly Fam and how I kind of discovered them and just how it's kind of panned out, at least from my perspective. Around the same time, I first went to Dykeman to see Briscoe. I think I'd went – this is the early stages of Twitter. I'd went on Twitter, I think, later that week just to see, you know, what people were saying about Dykeman in general, just because I met the guy that handles, like, the social media and just the day-to-day stuff over there a couple of years ago. We had done an interview, and off that interview, you know, he invited me out, and it was – it was genuinely one of the most like amazing experiences I ever had, like from basketball. Like it was unlike anything I had ever experienced. But long story short, I'm looking up, you know, just Dykeman in general, and I see a few kids talking about like Jelly Fam this, Jelly Fam that. And at the time, I didn't really know what it meant. I knew it was kind of a movement, but I didn't really know what it meant. So maybe a year or more goes by, and just being a coach, I've had the pleasure of working, you know, with kids, whether it's eighth grade or freshman, sophomore, juniors in high school. You kind of just being around them, you overhear, you know, what they're talking about, and you know, that's kind of been my way of staying up to speed. I mean, because I'm washed. I'm, you know, I got a 9-to-5 job. I don't have time to, you know, really be out there as much as I want. But just overhearing them and hearing them say, oh, well, he jellied that. He jellied, you know, you kind of piece everything together. And then just being out there, you know, in the field, you actually see it. But in terms of who's a part of it, to my understanding, and don't crucify me if I exclude your name, but I believe it started with Jordan Walker, who plays for the Patrick School out of New Jersey, Isaiah Washington, who plays for St. Ray's out of the Bronx, Leandre Washington, who plays for Roselle Catholic out of New Jersey. There's a young lady who just committed to
Ole Miss.
Ole
Miss, right?
Jelly Fam, yeah. Mimi, shouts to the fam, the first lady. She's part of it. Sid Wilson, he's a part of it. Jaquay James at Atenek, he's a part of it. And Javon Quinnelly. I believe that's the foundation of the movement. I don't know if it started from like an AAU team they had and they had played together like on a
was gonna be my next question is how did these kids from different parts of the area.
Yeah. I'm assuming it started at Dykeman. I could be entirely wrong. That's my assumption just based on, you know, the timeline that I'm able to piece together. But there was clearly a consensus that in order to be part of this family you gotta be able to jelly, and you gotta be able to do it in a game. And I credit all of them for having that, with the exception of Sid. Sid's an above the rim kind of guy. But Jordan, Jaquay, Leandre, Isaiah, all of them. I love. I mean, they don't all do it the same way. They all have like different ways of doing it and different variables within the jelly. But I credit them for changing the game. It's amazing. Dykeman aside, I've been to other events, whether it's Elite 24, the Frankie Williams Classic, and these guys are – Isaiah in particular is literally a rock star. And I've been around some pretty high-profile grassroots and amateur athletes. And, I mean, I haven't been everywhere, but I've never seen anything like the way the crowd responds to him when either he jellies or he's just in the building. He's a rock star, so I tip my hat to
him. Yeah, I mean, no one's had a bigger summer than him.
Yeah.
I mean – he popped up in the top 100, mm-hmm. won MVP at the Elite 24, and, you know, is staying in New York and playing for St. Ray's next year, which is so awesome and just a very cool thing for him to do. I mean, you know, not to knock anybody, but, like, you know, Mo Bamba is a top 4 recruit, and our Slammed Iris, like, he's from
Harlem.
Yeah, he's from Harlem.
116th.
He's playing. He's not playing in New York next year for his senior year. Hamadou Diallo, top 10 recruit. He's not playing in New York next year.
Ami.
So, I mean, like, I don't know. That irks me as, like, as someone who just loves New York basketball. I mean, I understand why they do it, but
it's the world we live in now.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, but how much – I don't know. I guess, you know, everybody has a reason, whether it's, like, a familial or personal or – whatever, but I don't know. I feel like if you run it in New York, like, what's bigger than that? Yeah. You know, it's the biggest city in the world. So,
and I credit Isaiah Washington for, you know, staying and, as the New York Post put it, slaying.
Wait, so where do you think he ends up college wise?
College, I wouldn't. I'm here in Minnesota is a favorite. I think one of his
that seems random as
yeah. No, well, one of his AAU coaches, one of his old AAU coaches. I believe he's either an assistant or he's on the coaching staff out there. So, like the same, maybe a Seton Hall, follow the footsteps of an Isaiah Whitehead.
Yeah. I mean, and by no means is he like a one-and-done player.
No.
He's definitely probably gone 4 years in college, but there's no reason he can't have a great college career. And, you know, I hope he has a big senior year and rises up even higher in the ranks. But out of – so what, you frequented Dykeman the most this year, right, probably?
Yes. Well, I'd say between Dykeman, the latter end of the summer, I did a lot of Hamilton Park earlier in the summer. That's based out of Jersey City. Mm-hmm. They've been around. I don't even want to butcher and shortchange them, but they've been around for quite some time. I think like guys like Kyle Anderson played in that same league. But I did that a lot early in the summer. And then you had a lot of Dykeman towards the end, just between the high school division, the unlimited games they have going on, and just the talent they managed to bring out on a consistent basis. Did Tri-State a handful of times.
Also Uptown.
Yeah, Rucker earlier this summer.
Also Uptown.
But, yeah, I'd say out of all of them, I probably had the best time at Dykeman. There's no comparing the experience.
Wait, so for someone, let's say, you know, people out of town, non-New York people and whatever, mm-hmm. can you kind of explain what the environment is like? Because, I mean, even in some of your videos, like, yeah. there's like 100 people yeah. standing on the court during the game.
It's on, like...
Literally, like, almost to the paint.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a three-quarter court almost.
Yeah.
I hate that, too,
I credit them for the changes they made towards the end of the playoffs. I think in the semis or the quarterfinals for the unlimited division, one day I came there and they totally changed their policy on it. And they, at least for like the championship game, the semis and the quarters, they didn't allow anybody on the court. So I credit them for that. But as far as the Dykeman experience, the best way to put it, I mean, you got the empanada guy walking around selling empanadas for $1, beef, chicken, cheese. You got, it's,
just right, I'm starving now. Thanks.
I mean, if you've never been to the Washington Heights area, I'm a big guy for just culture in general, and I genuinely love the culture out there. Whether it's the Dominican influence, the accessibility coming from New Jersey, but it's a once in a lifetime experience. The people you meet, the people on the court, the lack of a corner three, you know, people running on the court at any given time, the hecklers. It's unlike any other street ball. I mean, I've been to Rucker, been to Tri-State, did Hamilton Park. Nothing compares to Dykeman. The announcer, shout out to Dave. I mean, he's got a big part to do with, in my opinion, the success of the Dykeman tournament as of late. You know, very entertaining guy, very knowledgeable of the game. I mean, as they would put it, where else would you rather be? In this area, I honestly don't think there's a more entertaining league during the summer.
And who would you say the best player was that you saw? Not I mean, I know some pro guys showed up, but I mean, on the high school level, who was probably the best player you saw all summer? I guess most consistent that you saw all summer, and then also like the best, either like one off or like who only played a handful of times.
Well, anybody who's frequented the New York circuit this summer is probably familiar with this young man out of Brooklyn. His name's Kuda. He plays on Fire and Ice, which is the same team of Shamari Ponds. So he's Shamari Ponds' teammate. But to my knowledge, he didn't play high school ball. He was more of like a boys and girls AAU kind of guy. But, I mean, I watched him for over a month and arguably one of the most consistent performers on the summer circuit. So I'd have to say Kuda. Isaiah's hands down been the most entertaining, I'd say, in New York. Leandre popped out a little late. He had some success.
Just for everyone who's listening, Leandre.
Leandre Washington. Yeah, he's out of New Jersey. A lot of these guys, I don't know their full names just because they're known by like nicknames. On the New Jersey side, Javon Quinterly, I think he had a huge summer.
Just picked up a Kansas offer.
Yeah, major key, and he's only going to be a junior. Luther Muhammad, he had a slow start. He actually broke his foot in the spring. Managed to bounce back, make the UAA finals team. Izod ended up winning the championship, and he translated that on the Hamilton circuit as well. He had a pretty successful summer. Hamadou Diallo towards the end, it's really been a pleasure watching him come out, and you really just got to commend these guys for actually stepping foot on the mm-hmm. on the pavement and actually playing street ball and sustaining the legacy.
Wait, I feel like he played like six straight days or something between E24 and I feel like videos I've seen every single day.
Yeah, I mean top 11 guy in the nation, and for him to come outside on a consistent basis, at least since he's been available, because obviously he was tied up with Team USA, tied up with the AAU stuff. But you know, I commend, as a Harlem guy, I commend him for coming out and not being Hollywood. I'm not going to name any
Queens.
Names, but I'm I've heard conflicting stories.
Oh? So
I'm not going to say. I mean, he goes to school in Connecticut, so that's neither here nor there. But
Yo, that kid's probably got the most bounce I've seen in a minute, too, man.
Yeah, I saw him play. The first time I saw him play was last year at the Big Strict scrimmage.
And you got him, for those who have not seen him, NJ Hoop Recruit as a mix out.
Yep,
I believe,
absolutely.
Right?
We have the 47-point game at the historic King Dome in Harlem.
That's on Slam Online, too.
Yep.
So if you need to peep that.
Shouts to Slam. Shouts to y'all for showing me some love and putting that up.
It's all about the clicks.
It's all about the clicks. But
literally, though.
Click. Yeah. If I'd have to say, I'd say Leandre, Javon, Luther, Isaiah, and Hami. They've had some pretty successful summers on the blacktop.
Damn, Kuda sounds like such a hood legend.
Bro, if you ever like just watching this guy from afar, he's a goon, but a hell of a basketball player. But yeah, he is quite a legend.
Word. I think someone who has been hot on the scene for since his sophomore year, but took a huge step forward this summer was Trey Duvall.
Yeah.
I mean, where he's playing high school should probably come out in the next few days, I hope. I mean, September is literally today if you're listening now. But, that kid he's a problem, man. 6'3 point guard, top five in the country. Yeah. And then did he play anywhere else but Elite 24 in
this
New York?
Summer? Yeah. No, he was supposed to play at Rucker, but apparently that was I'm not going to say what that was, but he didn't show there.
He didn't do Big Strict either,
He didn't do Big Strict. No, I think Elite 24 was the only time he really stepped out. I saw him in the spring at the Play of Spring Fling tournament back in like April. But outside of that, the last time I saw him play prior to that was when he was in New Jersey.
He played at he was at St. Benedict's.
St. Benedict's
for a while, right?
Yep.
Word. I hope. I don't know, man. I'm interested to see where he plays his high school ball.
I'd love to see him back in New Jersey.
Hell yeah. He played at API last year in Texas, right?
But they've been under a lot of scrutiny from an academic perspective. Billy Preston.
Yeah. They both dipped out of there with the quickness when things started going south after what happened with Terrence Ferguson. Both of them got out of there quick. I can't fault them.
No.
Was there anybody? I'm just looking at this top 100 list. Was there anybody else we haven't discussed that you may have seen? Michael Porter? Did you? I mean,
I saw a lot. I watched a lot of the FIBA Under 18. I mean, amazing talent between him and I saw Markelle Fultz play.
Beast.
And I saw Markelle Fultz go for 50 at Dykeman last summer.
Light 50.
A light 50.
Right before Big Strick. Yeah. He dropped 50 the night before. I remember that.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a beautiful process just watching his climb to the top. Yeah. You know, they're projecting him to be the number one pick. But
crazy. Didn't even play varsity until his junior year.
How about that? Brian Bowen, I saw him play at the Dick's Sporting Good National event. He's a pretty good talent. Tremont Waters, I seen a video of him. He played with Miles Powell, who's a New Jersey guy. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of film on him from his senior year. He's quite a talent. Jordan Tucker, he's actually moving to Georgia, but he was at Dykeman this past Friday for his last New York game. Brandon Randolph, he's an amazing talent, played for the PSA Cardinals. He played at the Nike King Dome event.
Wait, I have a random name to throw at you, a question, just because I know that you've followed this guy a little bit, and I played, pretty sure I was on his team during a Terminal 23 run, thank God.
Yeah.
Marquise Noel.
Oh, Mr. New York City, man.
Dude, so I walk in the gym, and one of the guys that I was running with was like, yeah, like I brought this, my youngin' with me, we're like, whatever. This kid proceeds to just bully, first of all, he's like 5'9".
Yeah.
Proceeds to bully everyone in the gym, including people twice his size, and just scores every single. I mean, I don't even know if I touched the ball. Frankly, I was just like,
you probably didn't
rebounds,
if you're on his
passing.
Team.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah, I this is the first spring I've really been on the AAU circuit as a coach. Took my guys out to Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Jam Fest, and the New Jersey Players 16U team was actually playing on it. They played up on 17. I had heard the name, I'd seen pictures, but that was the first time I'd seen him play, and it was just an unreal experience. I mean, just looking at the shots he was casually taking shots that the like 90% of the guys you've ever met could only dream of having the heart to take. Kids,
but
got
he's not
it.
Like a point guard, really.
No, he's more of a combo. I think on the next level, he's going to have to. But at the same time, I've seen him drop 30 and also drop like 7-8 dimes namely the performance he had at Rucker during the high school league debut. I think I actually have a video up of that up on my channel. But he had like 30 and at least 7 or 8 assists. Got a unique game, high motor. I mean, half the shots he takes, halfway of the shot going up, you're like, oh man, it's a terrible shot. Yeah. Next thing you know, it just drops. So unique shot selection, amazing talent. I see him doing big things, but he's legitimate.
Not to wallow in our washedness for all of this podcast, but just, you know, walking into a gym and having a kid 10 years younger than you're just going bananas.
Feeling. In our defense, that kid does is play ball and like literally go to school.
That's
but
a good point.
You know, we don't
occasionally maybe
go we don't to have that gym access, that. Man.
Oh yeah, gym access is the problem.
I'm sure it's playing a role.
A couple more things. I think a kid who's going to make a lot of waves and someone that you actually put me on to is Scotty Williams, who's going to be junior, sophomore?
Scotty Lewis.
Wait, what did I say?
Williams.
Who the hell is Scotty Williams? Is that a real person? But yeah, Scotty Lewis.
Don't worry, we'll edit this part out.
Nah, we won't. We're leaving it. I admit my failures in life. Scotty Lewis out of Jersey, South Jersey, beast, man.
Maybe we should just like make up a few names, and get some buzz around a couple of names. People Googling like, who is this guy?
Get those SEOs popping.
Nah, that kid, he's probably like 6'5" with arms. Yeah, has an amazing wingspan.
What's his name?
Scotty Lewis.
Okay.
Chill.
His man Brian Antoine. You can't discount him.
You made that one up too, didn't you?
Yeah, no, he's awesome.
I mean, funny story with them. When I was coaching, I think my 7th or 8th grade team last year, I was down at Hoop Group, and one of the kids that plays for me came up to me like, "Oh, Cole Anthony and Scotty Lewis are here." I'm like, "Who are they?" You know, at this point, I was more of a high school kind of guy, but he walks me over to the main court, and I lie to you not, there was like 5 or 6 possessions back-to-back-to-back-to-back where Scotty, Cole, and Brian, and these at this time they were 8th graders. Mm-hmm. These guys are just taking off like left and right. Like everybody in the gym is watching their game, but he's got a hell of a ceiling. He's got a hell of a support system. It may be a far reach, but I see him in the NBA one of these days. Going to be a sophomore, part of the ESPN Top 25. Good kid, shown me nothing but support since I've shown him love. I think he's got a high ceiling.
Yeah, you brought up Cole Anthony too. Yeah. Greg Anthony's kid.
Another good kid.
Problem.
Yeah, I was actually at Tri-State on Sunday, and he unexpectedly showed up. I wasn't even expecting to see him, and I'm halfway down 145th, and I hear the announcer say, "Greg Anthony's son." I'm like, "Oh shit!" So I ended up running over, but he had a ridiculous game. I think he caught like 5 dunks within like a 5-minute span.
He's not even that big either.
No, he's like he might be my size, if not like an inch shorter. Right. But
and he plays at Archbishop Molloy.
Yep, so out of Queens.
Kenny Anderson's alma mater. Yep, so yep, shouts to him. Nas Reed out of Jersey is another problem underclassman.
Yep.
So who do you think is going to be the best team in Jersey this year? And, okay, how about this? Has New York closed the gap a little bit on Jersey with this class?
Hard to say. I mean, there's been a handful of opportunities where New York's kind of had its opportunity to gauge where it falls in comparison to New Jersey this summer. Between, I'd say, mostly the Rucker League. That was a good high school league early on. But New Jersey fell short on a handful of occasions. But I don't know. It's still neck and neck, to be honest with you. I don't think either state this year, at least, has any over the top individuals or teams that are, you know, that are hands down better than any other. But as far as the number one team in New Jersey this year, was that the question?
Yeah. Who do you think it'll be? Roselle?
No. Nothing but love for Roselle. Anybody who's close to me knows how often I frequent that the Lion's Den over there in Roselle. I think this is the year, and quote me now, this is the year for the
drum roll.
This is the year of the Patrick School. I think they've got a big year ahead of them. They just lost the kid Miles Kale from Delaware. He was supposed to go there. But, I mean, with Mike Rice at the helm, you got guys like Jordan Walker coming back, who played a lot of varsity last year. Alamir Dawes, a kid who didn't play any varsity last year but had a hell of a summer, and a kid I know personally. They brought in a few big men. Keep an eye out for the name Valdir Manuel from Angola. They brought another kid from, I think, the Congo. I don't know his name.
Valdir
Manuel.
Legend already on top.
They got him. Nick Richards, who didn't play any summer ball with them all summer, which was a little disappointing.
He was at Elite 24, though.
Yeah,
right?
He was at Elite 24. They got a lot of talent. They've got a great coach. Typically, St. Anthony's is the favorite as number one year in and year out, but it's going to be a make-or-break year with them. I think they're only going to go as far as R.J. Cole lets them go. But if you had to ask me now, I'm going with Patrick School. I just think they're more disciplined, and I like what they've done over the summer, and I like what I've seen over the summer in comparison to other programs.
Word, it's hot as hell in here, so I'm gonna cut this, we're gonna cut this off. But yo, Blaze, good looks.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Follow him at NJ Hoop Recruit on all socials, right?
Yep, NJ Hoop Recruit on Twitter, Instagram, NJHoopRecruit.com. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel, NJ Hoop Recruit.
If you see him at a game, proceed with caution.
And on that same note, I mean, everyone should be following the new Slam High School basketball account.
Absolutely.
Yes. SlamOnline_HS on Twitter. You know, our guy, Frankly Kaye, holding that one down for the most part.
Frankie was unfortunately unable to make it today, but we'll get him on soon for
Shouts
sure.
Shouts to my guy, Frankie.
Hell yeah, the god. All right, yo, we'll be back next week for sure. So appreciate y'all listening. Have a good Labor Day. Peace.